Good evening to everyone. Thank you for being here tonight. God has blessed us with a beautiful day. The rain has replenished the earth and has cleared out. And now we have a beautiful evening, and it's my job to keep you here as long as I possibly can. It's been a great day. I want to say on Sunday, thank you for the various group care groups that provided the meal after morning service, as well as on Sunday evening, and for the elders for the fellowship and the meal on last evening, and tonight for Jim and Judy Humphreys for the excellent meal that they prepared for us, and for Brother Sawyer that cooked the steaks for us. And I've got to hurry up and finish because I have a 20-ounce ribeye that's waiting on me. I don't eat before I preach, and I'm ready to eat now. And so y'all give me about 15 minutes and we'll be through. Now, it is good that we have many here tonight from the East Jackson congregation. And I'm worried about that because, again, two of the elders are here and they don't believe that I can be through within 30 minutes. And they're here to see a miracle. Because we don't usually get out on a Sunday evening till about 7:30. And so we're going to be through. I'm going to be through in 30 minutes. And I'm going to sit down wherever I am. And so y'all pray for me. We got three of our elders here. Thank man, I know I'm in trouble now. But I'm privileged that I'm able to work with one of the great congregations in the Brotherhood. East Jackson allows me to serve there as one of their ministers. And I'm honored to be a servant there. I want to say again to the elders here, thank you. There are many dynamic speakers in the Brotherhood. You could have invited any of those, but you thought of me, and I'm honored to be invited to be here with you in these series of meetings. And it's my prayer that I'm going to say something that will encourage you. If you have a copy of God's Word, raise it up. Let me see it. If you have a copy of God's Word. Now, the only way you can verify what I'm going to say is that you use the Word of God, because what I think doesn't matter. My opinion is my opinion. What matters is what the Word says. Who I am is not important. It's who I preach that's important. And so we want to look at the Word of God, what it has to say about parenting tonight, and what can we do as parents to empower our children in this day and time. In this day and time, to remain faithful to God. If you have your copy of God's Word, let's go again to Revelation chapter 12. In Revelation chapter 12, we've been using that as a text each service, where we see Satan engaging in a battle with God's angel, Michael, and God's angels. Satan loses the battle. He and his angels are expelled from heaven, and they're cast down to the earth. In verse number 12, because he's cast down to the earth, he's angry. And the Bible says, "Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan has come down to us, knowing he has a short time." And what he's going to do in this short time, he doesn't know when the world is going to come to an end, but he knows his time is limited. He's on a mission. And his mission in verse 13 was, number one, to stop the birth of Jesus. He couldn't stop the birth of the man-child. He couldn't stop Jesus from being born. Thus, he couldn't stop Jesus from establishing his kingdom, the church. And so now he's after the woman. He's after the church. That's us. And that's what Satan wants to do. He wants to take away your joy that you quit the church. If he can't get you to engage in the belief of false doctrines, if he can't get you to engage in immoral activities, if he can take away your joy of your family life or your married life or being a parent, if he can take away your joy in that aspect, he's hoping that that would discourage you and cause you to quit the church. And so tonight, I've come by to tell you something. Satan wants your children. Let me say that again. Satan wants your children. He wants your marriage. He wants your life. But he wants your children. And so tonight is, what can we do to empower our children to remain faithful to God? What can we do as parents? What do we need to pass on as parents to our children that would equip them to remain faithful to God? Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, the chapter is 1. Look at verse number 10. 2 Peter, chapter 1. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 10. And that verse, Peter says, there's something that we can do. There's something that we can do to empower ourselves to make our calling and election sure. There's something that we can do that increases the probability. There's something that we can do that increases the likelihood that we can make it to heaven. And so let's use that text to raise this question. Is there something that we can do to increase the probability that we can make it to heaven? What can we do as parents to increase the probability that our children will make it to heaven? For this day and time, what do we as parents need to do? What do we need to instill into our children that would give them the higher probability or the higher likelihood that they will make it to heaven? I want to share with you one thing that I believe that would empower them. Give them a set of values. Give them a set of values. I believe what our children need today are a set of values. And these values will influence them. These values will serve as a super glue. Super glue that will keep them in the church, that will keep them faithful to God if we as parents take the time to instill this set of values in them. And what set of values? There are five values that I want to share with you tonight that form the set of values that I believe that every child needs to know if that child is going to remain faithful to God. And so when I get to value number five, that doesn't mean one little thing, okay? That means the lesson is about to come to an end. But I want to share with you five values, and I hope that you will consider these values. These are five biblical values that I believe from my study of God's word and from my years of study about the family and about parenting that I believe that our young people need to know. And we as parents need to take the time to internalize in them, in their mind, that will give them an edge, that will give them a fighting chance to be able to remain faithful to God. Satan wants our children. So what values do we need to pass on to them? Before I share those five values with you, I want you to know God believes in parenting. He believes parenting is important. Go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you have your copy of God's word, look in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Look at verse number 7. As the children of Israel making preparation to wander in the wilderness, notice what God told Moses to tell the Israelites to do. He says, teach them about me. As they sit in the home, as they walk around the house, as they lay in the house, whatever situation that they find themselves in, teach their children about me. Bind certain things at the frontlet before their eyes. Not only bind, write it on the doorpost. In other words, teach your children to value me. Because when they come into that land flowing with milk and honey that God has promised them, if they don't value me, they're going to forsake me. Look at verse 12. If you teach them to value me, beware lest they forget the Lord thy God and serve the other God. So teach them to value me. God believes in parenting. He told Moses to tell the Israelites to parent their children, to teach their children to value him. Now Moses is dead. Joshua is now the leader. Go to Joshua chapter 4. In Joshua chapter 4, as they're making preparation to enter into across the Jordan River, before they cross the Jordan River into the land flowing with milk and honey, God comes again and he tells Joshua to tell the parents to do something. And that is, he tells each tribe to select a man to go back into the river and pick out a stone and to bring that stone up and to build a monument. And when the children inquire, what is the meaning of these stones? You seize that opportunity to tell them about me. Tell them what I've done for them. Teach them to value me. And if they value me, they will remain faithful to me. And then you want to see a beautiful verse? Go to Judges chapter 2, verse 7. For some 110 years, Joshua lived. And the Bible says Joshua died. But the most beautiful thing, the Bible says, all the days of Joshua, the Israelites served God. You know why? Parents did their job. The parents instill certain things into their children, and the Bible says all the days of Joshua, from the time of Moses up until the time of Joshua, the people served God. But look at verse 10. After Joshua's death, the Bible says there arose another generation that didn't know God. You want to see what happens when parenting ceases to exist? When parents cease to teach, when parents cease to instill, there arose a generation that didn't know God. Look at verse 11. And the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of God. What can we do today to give our children an edge that they can remain faithful to God? I believe there are five values that we need to give them. A value is something that's dear to you. A value is something worth dying for. A value is something that you believe so much in that you're not willing to compromise one iota because that value is so dear to you. I believe there are five values that our children need. Here's the first one. They need to value God. They need to value God. You see, it's not enough to know who God is. It's not enough to know what God requires of you. If you don't have the third component, if you don't value God, then that's going to come a situation that you're going to compromise. What makes you remain faithful to God is not just knowing who God is. That's good. We need to teach our children who God is. We need to teach our children what God requires of us. But we need to go a third step. We need to teach them to value their relationship with God. Because when they value their relationship with God, they will endure things. They will not compromise because they don't want to lose that relationship. Let me show you how important it is. Go to Acts chapter 4. Let me show you what a value would do. Acts chapter 4, look at verse 17. Peter and John been called in before the Sanhedrin. This body of people, this body of the Supreme Court of the Jewish religion, and they tell them to stop preaching Jesus. They not only tell them, they threaten them, say, we're going to beat you. And in my mind, I see the cattail out there with the lashes on it and the bones and the thing, the whip that they're going to open their backs up with. Boys, if you continue to preach Jesus in this city, we're going to open your backs up. And we're telling you, don't preach Jesus Christ in this city anymore. But you see, when you value something, you may be told not to do something, but when you value something, you're willing to suffer the consequences. And they said, you tell us not to preach, but Jesus told us to go and preach. And we can't help but preach what we've been told to preach. Verse 21, they even threatened them more, but they kept on preaching. You know why? They valued their relationship with Jesus. Let's teach our children to value God. There are so many young people in America, in the world, who are losing their faith in God because they may know God, they may know what God requires of them, but they don't value God. Let's take the time to teach our children to value their relationship with God. Go to Daniel chapter 3. You know the story well, verse number 14. Shadrach, oh yes, Meshach and Abednego. Here they're down in Babylonian. And the king says, you got to bow down and worship me. When you hear the music, bow down. Why didn't they bow down? You see, they knew God. They knew what God required of them. But because they valued God, they were willing to suffer the extreme punishment of even death. When you value something, you won't compromise regardless of what it is. But when you don't value God, there are things you will do. There are things you didn't do when you were a teenager because you were taught to value God. There are things I didn't do, I wanted to do, but I valued my relationship with God too much and I couldn't go there. These boys say, we're not gonna go there. You cast us into that furnace. Even though they watched throw the substance in and made the fire so hot that the guy that was throwing it in was consumed, it didn't deter them one little bit because they valued God. Have you taken the time to teach your children to value God? It's not enough for them to come to church. And to hear in Bible class and in preaching about God and what God requires of them as parents, we need to sit down and plead with them and cry with them and teach them to value God so that they will not compromise. Go to Genesis chapter 39. Here's a boy down in Egypt. His name is Joseph. And there's a woman that's coming after him and saying, Joseph, sleep with me. Joseph, sleep with me. Why didn't Joseph sleep with Potiphar's wife? You see, Joseph knew what was expected of a Hebrew. Joseph knew about God. But there was one other thing that Joseph received before he went down to Egypt. He was taught to value God. Look at verse 9. When she grabbed hold of Joseph, Joseph said, I can't commit this sin. I value my relationship with God too much. I can't commit this sin against my God. I can't do this. If I commit this sin, I won't have a relationship with God. You see, we've got to take the time to teach our children to value God. Let's look at one more example before we go to number 2. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse number 9. There's a senior apostle. He's the last one left. He's believed to be in the late 80s at this time. He's heard or he has seen the death of each one of the other apostles, and he's the only one left. And he finds himself on the Isle of Patmos. Why? Because he valued his relationship with God. He valued his relationship with Jesus. Whether you're young or mature, it doesn't matter what age. When you value something, you will remain faithful to it. So the first thing, we need to teach our children to value God. Number 2, we need to teach them to value what they can enjoy in Christ Jesus. We need to teach them to value what we enjoy in Christ Jesus. We need to help them to get in Christ. Why? Because that's where all the saved people are. The saved people are in Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, we endure all things for the elect's sake, that we might enjoy the salvation. That is where? In Christ Jesus. And for those who are in Christ, go to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verse number 3. Those who are in Christ enjoy some wonderful blessings. And they need to enjoy these blessings, that they're not willing to give them up. They need to, do you hear what I'm saying? They need to be taught to enjoy the blessings that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. And this world is not worth giving those values or those blessings up. They need to be taught to value what we enjoy in Christ. Let me share some things with you we enjoy in Christ. Look at verse 7. Look at Ephesians 1, verse 7. Here's one of the blessings, redemption. Brothers and sisters, sin has separated us from God. Romans 6, verse 23, for the wage of sin is death. There was a time because of sin, we didn't have a relationship with God. We were alienated from God, but somebody paid the price. It wasn't us, it wasn't mama, it wasn't daddy, it was Jesus with his own blood. He paid the price, and because of his blood, we can sing the song as we did on last evening, I'm redeemed. I'm redeemed. We have redemption in Christ. Our sins have been washed away. And because of that, we're on our way to heaven, and we ought to want to celebrate that. And it's not worth giving up anything in this world. And we need to value that. That's why I can't drink. That's why I can't engage in immoral activities, premarital sex. That's why I don't use profanity. That's why I don't do certain things. Why? Because I don't want to give up the redemption that I enjoy in Christ Jesus. You gotta value that. In my teenage years, there were times I wanted to do some things and go some places, but I was taught to value what I have in Christ. Look at verse 11. First Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse 11. In him, we have an inheritance. You know what that inheritance is? A promise of heaven. Oh, I love the song. Won't it be wonderful there? I'm not, heaven is not, there's nothing in this world worth heaven. I don't know how you feel about that. I just long for the day to be in heaven with God. And there's nothing that Satan can offer me in this world that's worth me compromising. And I'm thankful that my parents, I'm thankful that my grandparents taught me. I'm thankful that Brother Luther Bowles, who's now gone on, I'm thankful growing up under his feet that he tutored me and taught me as a preacher, a young preacher, to value what we have in Christ Jesus. And I value the hope of one day being in heaven. Look at verse 13. Look at verse 14. He said, value the seal of the Holy Spirit. Why is that so important? Why is the seal of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I wish I had time to work on this one here. But the importance of this is seen in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse number 19. The Lord knows those who are his because they have the seal. Did you hear what I just said? God knows those who are his. Who are those who belong to God? They have the seal. The seal of what? The Holy Spirit that's given to those who obey the gospel. But you can give that seal up by unfaithful living. You can give that seal up by compromising your values. But when you hold on to values, guess what you enjoy? You enjoy the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Spirit of God in you that works through the word, that helps you to keep faithful, that brings to your memory what you have studied and said, Sammy, don't go there. God loves you, Sammy. Don't do that. Don't think that thought. Here's what God wants you to do. See, the Holy Spirit will intercede and help you if you allow it. If you allow it. Look at verse 14. You have the guarantee. You have the earnest payment of the Holy Spirit of your inheritance. Jesus has paid a price. He has put down a down payment for me and given me a promise that if I remain faithful to him and I value him, I'm going to have a home in heaven, and I'm not worried about it. Not because of anything I've done. I don't deserve to go there. Because of the grace that comes through Jesus Christ, I have the promise. I have the guarantee of a home in heaven. And Satan, you're not worth it. That's what our children need to be taught. It's not worth giving up. There's one more thing. We can spend the rest of the night on this one here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Look at verse 23. What's another blessing we enjoy in Christ? Your name is registered in heaven. You know, I want my name to be a lot of places. But one place I want my name is registered in heaven. And those, the General Assembly, and the people who are part of the church of the firstborn, the church of Christ, those who are part of the church of Christ, their name is registered in heaven. It is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, that's what they need to be taught, and they need to value what we have in Christ Jesus. Number three, they need to value their influence. They need to value their influence enough that there are certain things they won't do because they want to bring their friends to Jesus. And you can't bring your friends to Jesus if you compromise. You need to remain faithful to God. You need to let the word of God be seen in your life that you can bring your friends, you can influence them. What I didn't want when I was a young person is for one of my young friends to say, Sammy, on the day of judgment, you never mentioned him to me. Sammy, you said you were a Christian. And out on the football field or the basketball court and class, you never invited me to church. You never told me that you were a Christian, Sammy. You never even told me you believe in God. We need to teach our young people, don't be afraid to be a good influence. Go to Titus 2, look at verse number 10. Titus 2, verse 10, a beautiful verse. Paul says to Titus, live so that you might adorn, the doctrine of God, our Savior. The doctrine of God is the doctrine of Christ. Live so as a young person that you might make the gospel of Christ attractive. That's what he's saying there. Live so in your teenage years. Live so in your life that when people look at you, the gospel is not repelling. It's attractive to you. And people want to become and know God and know Jesus and know the Holy Spirit because of the life you live. Teach them to value their influence, because by living right, you can be a powerful God as a young person. You don't have to wait till you get as old as I am. You can be a powerful good even as a teenager. You can be a powerful good at any age, and we need to teach them to value your influence. That's why Jesus says, Matthew 5, verse 13, Sammy, remember you're the salt of the earth. Sammy, remember, you ought to be so that when you're around and people get to know you, they observe something different about you. Not that you're strange, it's that you're peculiar. You're God's possession. You're not owned by this world. We need to teach them to value that. Verse 14 and verse number 16, he says, remember you're the light. We in a world of darkness. Amen. I've never seen America this dark. And that's time for Christians to light up. It's time for Christians to light up. Be a light, irregardless of your age. But we need to be taught as a young person. So when you've been taught as 13 years old what you ought to be, and therefore at age 13, I knew what I was going to do and what I was not going to do. And I remember vividly being harassed often by girls because they knew that I was a Christian. And they sang, Sammy, sleep with us, sleep with us. I wanted many times to prove to individuals that I was not abnormal because the rumor was out in high school that I was gay because I was not sexually active. And people thought, and the rumor was out, and I wanted to prove, and there were girls calling me up saying, one night with men, you won't be gay anymore. And I wanted to prove that I wasn't, but I would have to compromise. And so I graduated with my classmate thinking I was gay because the rumor was out. You don't go out with him, he's not going to do anything. Well, I was trying to be a Christian. But you know what? I've been taught that there are certain things you don't do. Not that I didn't, there were times I wanted to, but I'm thankful that I was taught to value. I wanted to be an influence for God. I wanted to be an influence for Jesus. You can. There were times I wanted to drink. But it only takes one drink to become an alcoholic. It doesn't take but one. And whether you say the Bible believes in, well, drinking is wrong or whatever, one drink is all it takes. And I'm thankful to God that I was taught that you shouldn't do it. And I can remember only one time in my life ever tasting alcohol. It was a beer, and I can't remember because it was so bitter I spit it out, and I knew it wasn't for me. And I'm thankful to God that it doesn't have a good taste. But notice, you've got to be taught to value. My thing is, do you value your influence? Number four, it's not enough to be taught to value God. Not enough to be taught to value what you enjoy in Christ. You need to be taught to value your influence. Number four, you need to value your parents. You need to be taught to value your parents. You see, when you value your parents, you'll do what the Bible says. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 16, and Deuteronomy chapter 6, and verse number 16, and Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4, or verse 2 rather. Children, honor your parents. You know what the word honor means? Jesus tells us. Go to John chapter 8. Look at verse 29. Jesus says this is what it means to honor your parents. He says, I'll always do those things that please my Father. That's how you honor your parents. You do those things not to please yourself, but you do those things to please your Father. Jesus came to this earth not to please Jesus, but he came to this earth to please his Father. And I'm thankful that I was given that. And I've tried to pass that on to my boys. To live to please not yourself, but think about honoring your parents. My mom died the same year my wife passed away. About a month before Rhonda found out she had cancer, I was in Central America in a mission work, and they gave me a call that my mom had passed away. But getting by all those years, there are things I wanted to do, but I didn't want to disappoint Alice. I didn't want to disappoint Wilbert. I didn't want to disappoint Amos, that's my granddad, and Naomi. You see, they're dear to me. They've encouraged me over the years. They believed in me. They believed in me from the first time I said I wanted to be a gospel preacher. Yes, I wanted to please God more than any, but I also wanted to honor my parents. And even at this age, my dad is still alive. I want my dad to think well of me. And I'm thankful that he's given me this value. My dad completed the second grade. He didn't even know how to write his own name, and I had to teach that, how to do that when I was 7 years old. But he believed in his son. He's had a manual job all his life, but he wanted me to have a Christian education. He couldn't afford Fried Hartman, but he worked three jobs that I could go there. He's taught me values. Until the day I die, I'm going to value him. Until the day I die, I'm going to try to serve God. And hopefully, that way he'll be proud of me. But more important, I want God to be proud of me. Live so that you value your parents. I didn't want to do anything that they, my dad would say, Sammy, how could you do that? I know he loved me. And he grew up in the old school. He never told me. Never told me he ever loved me. He tells me now. But I grew up where my dad never hugged me. He never hugged me until I was 28 years old, and I don't have time to tell you the story. First time my dad ever hugged me. And now, if he was to walk through that door, the first thing we're going to do is embrace and hug and kiss because I value him. And finally, the fifth, it's not enough to value God, to value what we enjoy in Christ Jesus, to value our influence and to value our parents, we need to value the church, God's highway to heaven. There are so many who are ashamed of the church. We need to teach our children not to be ashamed, but to value the church. Go to back to Isaiah chapter 35. Look at verse number 8. 700 years before Jesus came on the earth, God made a promise. And when God makes a promise, you can go to bank on it. God said in Isaiah chapter 35, verse 8, and a highway shall be there, and a way. And it shall be called the way of holiness, and it shall be called the highway to heaven. The unrighteous, the unclean shall not pass or not travel it, but the others, they will. Even though they are fools, even though people will make fun of those who are on this highway, people are going to ridicule those who are on this highway, they shall not go astray. They shall not be ashamed. Let's teach our children not to be ashamed of God's highway to heaven. God made that prophecy 700 years before the day of Pentecost. Now let's go to John chapter 14, verse 6. John chapter 14, verse 6, God made a promise. Now, 700 years later, Jesus comes on the scene and says, I am that highway. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goeth unto the Father but by me. And then God said, Matthew 3, verse 17, about Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When it comes to what you need to do to be saved, hear ye him. Now Jesus starts his ministry. He preaches his first sermon. What do you think he's going to preach about? Go to Matthew 4, verse 17. In his first sermon, God promised a highway. In his first sermon, he says, repent, for the kingdom, God's highway, is at hand. God's highway has not yet been established. It's about to be established, people. Get ready. Something wonderful is about to happen. Now, Matthew 16, verse 18. He says, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Death is not going to prevent it. And verse 19, he says, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Why? Peter, the kingdom is important. Peter, you've been restored for a reason. I need somebody to open up the doors to God's highway to heaven. Peter, you're going to do it. Acts 1, look at verse number 3. After Jesus came out of the grave, before he ascended back to heaven, the Bible says he spent not 10, not 20, but 40 days talking with the disciples about what? God's highway to heaven, the kingdom. That's why you ought not to be ashamed of young people. That's why we need to teach our children, respect the kingdom, love the kingdom. It's God's highway to heaven. And he spent 40 days talking about the kingdom. He promised key to Peter. Now go to Acts 2, look at verse 14. Acts 2, verse 14, now he has the Holy Spirit, and Peter uses the keys of the gospel. And he started telling them what they had done, how they crucified the Son of God. Look at verse 36. And when they heard that Jesus was Lord of lords and kings of kings, they said, men and brethren, what must we do? What must we do? What he's been talking about, implying he's Lord of what? He's king of what? His kingdom. What must we do to be a part of Jesus' kingdom? Repent. Be baptized, every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ the King, and ye shall receive remission of sin as well as the promise of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? On that day, 3,000 people will obey the gospel. Now look at verse 47. And praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added the saved where? What's the church? It's the kingdom. Well, what's the kingdom? It's God's highway to heaven. Now, you want to see it in a plainer view than that? Go to Colossians chapter 1. And we're coming to a close. Give me 3 minutes and we'll lesson to be yours. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse 12. In Colossians chapter 1, about this value, he says, want to give thanks to God every day. Thanks be to God. Why? He has made us, he has qualified us. I love that word. He has made us eligible for an inheritance, to make it to heaven. But what did he do? Look at verse number 13. God, through Jesus Christ, has translated us out of darkness over the highway to hell. We once, when we were in sin, we were on that other highway. But when we obeyed the gospel of Christ, God, not man, God puts us on a highway to heaven called the kingdom of God's dear Son. And why is that kingdom so important? Our last verse before I extend the plan of salvation. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse number 24. And the Bible says, and when the end comes, and when the end comes, I want you to catch that. And when the end comes, our children need to understand that one day the world is coming to an end. When the end comes, why do they need to value the kingdom? Why do they need to value the church? When the end comes, then shall Jesus deliver to the Father what? The kingdom. The kingdom is where those who are going to heaven, that's where they are. They're in the kingdom. And that's why we need to value the kingdom. We don't need to be ashamed of the kingdom. When God comes by, Jesus will offer up him the kingdom. Why? That's where the saved people are. Why? God promised a highway to heaven. And now it's through Jesus Christ, and it's in the kingdom. Well, how do you get in the kingdom? You obey the gospel. If you're here tonight and you're not part of the kingdom, you're missing being part of the greatest family in the world. The greatest family in the world is the kingdom of Christ. And when you're part of that kingdom, you need to value it. You need to appreciate it. And you don't need to be ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the Lord's kingdom. Yes, I'm a member of the Lord's kingdom. And I'm not ashamed. I'm thankful to God that I'm a part of this kingdom, because one day when the Lord's come back, he's coming back for the kingdom. Not kingdoms, but the kingdom. And those who are in the kingdom, who are faithful and who value their relationship with God and with Jesus, and who remain faithful and who didn't forget about what they enjoy in Christ, then these individuals, he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Brother Jones, how do I get in the kingdom? How do I get in the kingdom? You got to get in Christ. Well, how do you get in Christ? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. That's why we preach baptism, because baptism is the only mechanism, the only avenue that puts you in Christ, that puts you into the kingdom. And that's why Jesus says, go you into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. For he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Why? Jesus put this in the plan to become a part of his kingdom. If you're here tonight, do you value being a member of the church? If you value it, don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to let people know that you're part of the greatest kingdom in the world. Don't be ashamed to tell people what they need to do to become part of the kingdom. If there's ever been a time in my lifetime, it's now for Christians to stop being ashamed and not in an arrogant way, but to be thankful and proud to be a part of the church of Christ. Amen, lights. We ought to be thankful, not ashamed. Our young people need to be taught to be thankful, not ashamed, and to value it. And don't compromise what it teaches. Don't compromise what it's trying to offer to the world, salvation. If you're here tonight, you're ashamed. You need to have God to help you. If you're here tonight and you're not a part of the kingdom, you need to become a part of the kingdom by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, by willing to confess to this audience that you believe that, and by being willing to be baptized, not because you're already saved, but you got to be baptized to be saved. Salvation comes after the sins are washed away. Salvation does not come with a testimony saying, Jesus, come into my heart. Salvation comes through act of obedience. You don't earn salvation. It's something that is given to you when you comply with God's will to get grace. And when you receive God's grace and faithful living, then it's a gift given to you. It's not a work. Baptism is not a work. It's an act of obedience. And if you're here tonight, and if you haven't been baptized, God wants a relationship with you. But you got to go through Jesus to get to God. If you're here tonight and you haven't been baptized, you need to be. But if you're here and you're a member of the church and you're not honoring Christ by being the best Christian you can be, the Bible says when he comes, he's going to take out of the kingdom those who have done offenses. And they're going to be cast into a lake of fire. I have to tell you that. Because everybody in the church is not going to heaven. Only those who remain faithful. God wants a relationship with you. If you need to come, won't you come as we together stand and sing.